strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
There we go. That is the cue, no doubt about it. And once again, we are putting the big into Big Red Rage. Absolutely, in more ways than one. We like to think it's always a big addition to the Big Red Rage, but tonight, literally. I mean, does anybody have a scale or a tape measure? Because I think, Wolf, we have the two biggest guys on the roster. We'll be right here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. Yes, a Thursday night, Week 15 edition of the Big Red Rage. Are you ready to go, Wolf?
I am ready to go, Paulie, no doubt about it. And I know one of these guys, they have a very large beard. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we almost have a couple of guests if you count the beard tonight. Calais, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Second time we've seen you this week already. On Monday night, there you were, right? 24 hours removed from a big win, doing the charity thing Monday night. Not in one location, but in two. So it was an action-packed Monday evening for you.
Yeah, quite the active day. But yeah. It was fun. It was a great time. You know, anytime you can give back to charity and, you know, and have fun doing it, I mean, that's the best way to do it.
So right now, Calais, of course, here it is. Everyone's kind of getting into the Christmas spirit, right? We're inside of 2 weeks now. Do you believe that? 2 weeks until Christmas. And do you ever feel the Christmas spirit, knowing that you're locked into the season, especially this time of year? You're 8-5. You're thinking about the playoffs. Do you allow your mind to wander a little bit, and do you embrace the spirit of the season?
Honestly, I do. You know, I mean, football is amazing, and I love it because it's the holidays. You know, you get to watch football all day. You know, we get to play. We don't really get holidays off. I mean, we don't get time off, really.
Right.
But, you know, you still have to have that, you know, that outside of football lifestyle, you know. And when I go home from football, usually give us a little more time on Christmas, either come in later,
sure,
go home early. And I'm going to go hang out with my family. Definitely, you know, still have to do some Christmas shopping, but I feel the spirit.
Have you always been one of these guys that you can walk in between the white lines and suddenly there's a switch? And you can hit that switch and then walk out of those white lines and that switch goes off.
Yeah. You know, I've been able to do that pretty much my whole – since I was 6 years old. I mean, playing football, you know, when you step in between the white lines, I mean, everything just vanishes out your mind. It's football and only football. And, I mean, it's fun. But when you step out of the white lines and you go back into the real life, I mean, everything comes back to normal.
Can I interrupt Wolf's psychoanalysis to mention that you guys have won 5 out of 6, Calais, and ding-dong, the division drought is dead. You guys snapped the 8-game winless streak in the NFC West. How did that feel on Sunday?
It's about time.
Gratifying, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, we still have two more very hard division games coming up, and we plan to win those, too. I mean, you know, it doesn't stop here. You know, we have a lot to look forward to.
You realize no one's giving you a chance at Seattle or against San Francisco. You do realize that, by the way.
That is perfectly fine with me. That makes it so much more sweet when we actually get it.
I just thought I'd throw that out there, okay? By the way, I thought we had a Nick Saban rule that we couldn't have two guys from the U in one edition of this show. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if we can handle that. That's going to be a lot of personality up here on this stage, Calais.
You're going to love it.
You're going to have two alums here from Miami. So we'll get ready for this. We'll make room
over there. Paul.
The beard is coming, okay?
Yes,
get ready over there. All right? It is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford. The guys are here. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center is the site.
They hand it off to Mendenhall running left, and he's going to walk in. Touchdown, Cardinals. A run play to Mendenhall up the middle. Got a hole at the 45-yard line and up near the first down at the 48. So a good run play. Here's a drop play to Ellington. Makes a man miss in the hole at the 25. Up the middle, 30. Breaks a tackle, 35, 40. And up to the 44-yard line for a gain of 21. Hand off up the middle, Ellington. He's to the 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Andre Ellington puts it away for the Cardinals.
How about that montage from a 30-10 win against St. Louis? Yes, the Cardinals have won 5 out of 6. And check this out. Since week 8, you want to talk offense. Cardinals are averaging 29 points per game, which is 5th best in the NFL since. And what have we been saying since week 1, right? You got a D that keeps you in every game. Now you have an offense scoring points. Boom. That's how you win 5 out of your last 6. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell is our host. And your special guest is a guy who is paving the way on a lot of those highlights right there. Go ahead with the intro.
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember this guy from my first days on college campus, you know, going out to practice on playing scout team. And just remember going against this big dude that was just so athletic. And I was like, wow, this is what the college is about, huh? You know, but I didn't realize he was one of the best and, you know, came to the NFL and it's been wrecking shop ever since he's got here. You know, my man Eric Winston is one of the best guys ever come from Miami and one of the best players in the league right now and we're representing. So appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, bro.
How about it? Eric Winston, everyone.
Thank you.
So you got recruited as a tight end, did you not?
That's right. Yep, I played tight end my first year at Miami, kind of a Jim Dre of sorts at Miami, the fullback, wing, second tight end blocking to Kellen Winslow.
Huh. What kind of 40 were you running coming out of high school?
High 5.47s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not joking.
So you had soft hands?
I wouldn't say soft hands, but they were. Yeah, I could catch better than people thought. But, I was a big kid. I was 6'6", 265 as a 19-year-old, 18-year-old coming out. And I could run a little bit, and I'd always play tight end. And I had a lot of fun, and I really wanted to play tight end, but I was tired of eating salads every night to stay in the 270. So.
I was going to say, you ate yourself out of the position. Yeah, is that what happened?
It was getting tiring. I was doing ab circuit in my dorm room every night, and I was literally eating salads every fall. I'd get on – you know, I played a ton of sports growing up. I played basketball and then baseball, and in the summer I traveled doing basketball and baseball, and I never really lifted a lot. Just the usual lifting that went along with maybe high school football, but – nothing extensive. And you go to Miami, you get any major college, you go there and there's the weight room, get used to being in there, and you start lifting and all of a sudden you start putting on some mass, and you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, they're not gonna let me play tight end if I get above 270. You know, I'm already 265. So it was a conscientious effort, but after a while I just decided, you know what, I want to be out there every play anyway, so maybe I should move inside anyway.
So you ever go to the coach and say, look, coach, I got a background as a tight end. Tackle eligible. Two words, tackle
right.
eligible.
You know, it's more subtle, I think. It's more of a subtle, okay. You know, I kind of walk by him, behind him, uh-huh. Tackle eligible, and just keep on walking. And hopefully, maybe it comes to them. You got to make sure it's their idea with the coaches. You don't want to come to them all the time and be pushing agendas. So you kind of, all of a sudden, they come to you, hey, we got a great idea. I got a tackle eligible play for you. Right. And wow, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. Right. Eric, so, could you dunk back in high school? Could you dunk?
Yeah, I actually brought down a rim one time.
Really?
I think it was a little loose, though. It was a little loose, though.
Can you still dunk?
I think I would tear my Achilles if I tried to dunk. I really do. I think,
your hamstring would fly out your butt?
Yeah. Okay. I don't even try. I think I just touched the rim and be done with it.
See, Calais, your chest just puffed out. Because every guy in that locker room thinks he can ball, can he? Thinks he can play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So right there, you're like, oh, 100%. Wait a minute. Hang on now. I can play myself some basketball over here, too. That's what you're thinking inside, aren't you?
I can still dunk. I know that.
Yeah.
See, all right.
I got about 3-4 more years before I have to give up dunking.
So, Eric, how much are you weighing now? What's your weight at?
Wait, is that with the beard or without?
What is it?
About 305.
305. Okay, Paul, I can't believe you stole my thunder.
Oh,
I was
going to
ask him, how much do you think the beard weighs?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. It's an extra couple pounds at least.
I mean, that thing is.
That's all right.
Boy, that is. Are you going to go Duck Dynasty? I mean, is that what that is right there?
You know, I started growing it, and I was. It wasn't a joke, but it was kind of half funny. You would say it's a playoff beard.
Yeah, and now this is your wife right here, correct?
Yep.
Okay, and what does she say about the beard, Eric?
I think it's gone so far past what it was supposed to be that she's just given up at this point. I think she's
really
given up.
Full. Yeah. I mean, it's St. Nick full.
Yeah, she's given up. I think now at this time of year, I've gotten a lot of offers for maybe guest Santa Claus appearances.
Yes.
Things,
right.
Diet
sure.
White. You know, what can we do with it?
You guys would be a great combo. Wolf does the backup mall Santa thing, you know, because he fits the suit, and then maybe he could borrow your beard, and then he'd be all set.
And
we could,
and you know what? We could dress Paul up as an elf. And he'd be the guy that sees everybody in, right?
Yeah. Now,
well played, sir.
Calais,
well
no played. Facial hair for you, especially. You know, I mean, you haven't. You didn't go that route.
For November, I grew it out a little bit, but I can't really grow it like that. I'm still. No. I guess my body. I developed light. You know, I was.
I see.
Yeah, I just now started. You know, losing my metabolism and being able to put weight on. So the beard, I guess, is coming soon.
You guys didn't get to see the 6'8", 220 Calais Campbell.
No,
as an 18-year-old,
but you did.
Oh yeah. But what's crazy is that, you know, he's put on all this weight. And he still looks relatively the same.
Right.
He doesn't look that much different, but he's not lying. I saw him 360 dunk at one time.
Did
of course,
you
that
know?
Was 80 pounds ago.
Right. Did you know that this kid was going to have a shot? Did you know he was going to be special? Did you know he was going to have the kind of success he's having?
Well, the one thing that was very apparent the first time you meet Calais is A, his work ethic, and B, his natural abilities.
Yeah.
And I think those are what you need to start off with. If you got that foundation, you got a chance. And I think that's the one thing we all saw in Calais is that, wow, he's got some natural gifts, and he's got the work ethic to go along with it. And, you know, ever since then, he's kind of taken it from there, and he's developed into what he is, and he deserves all the credit for it because he's the one that's done it.
But I love that story, Calais. You show up on campus, and you're going against Eric Winston. You're like, oh, geez, is this what college is like? And then you had to quickly realize, okay, wait a minute. No, this guy is top-notch. He's going to spend a decade in the NFL, right? But that must have been a sobering moment when you got on campus.
Oh, yeah.
You're going against him,
definitely.
Right?
I'm like, wow. I don't know if this is for me.
I think everybody has that. So mine was when I hit Vince Wilfork for the first time.
Oh, that went.
Who is this guy?
Right. That is so. You know, it must be nice. You know, playing at a college like that is a football factory. You know, I mean, wow.
The like Leia said, the first days of camp are quite intimidating.
Yeah, I bet.
Times.
Man,
a bunch of NFL players running around the practice field.
That was It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford, and we are just getting going here on the Big Red Rage with Eric Winston, Calais Campbell, yes, and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. There were two big plays on defense. Calais was involved right at the epicenter of both. We'll talk about that next.
Clements, straight drop back and hit at his knees, throws far side. It's picked off at the 20 by Dansby. He'll take it in. A touchdown for Carlos Dansby.
Oh, there it is. The Filthy Bird again, making a play that changes the game. That's what Carlos Dansby does.
There was pressure at the knees of Clemens from behind, and it was Calais Campbell that got to Clemens. He was going down when he threw the ball.
Tell you what, there are two players in the NFL who have over 100 tackles, 6 sacks, and 2 pick sixes, and Carlos Dansby is one of them. And Calais, you are right there in that. And in fact, you were the pressure guy that led to, right, the pick six and the ball getting out of the pocket early, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I got to the quarterback and I'm like, okay, you know, let's pull him down before he throws it. And, like, you know, then you hear, like, you know, the crowd kind of go like side for a second, then it goes wild. And they're like, okay, what happened? You get up and, like, he's went to the end zone. So I had to go there and celebrate with him. But that was awesome, you know. My mind, I was thinking, like, oh, not another, you know, missed opportunity.
Right, right. Did you get in on the Dirty Bird, by the way? Did you get over there in time? Okay, all right. You guys practice that at all ever, or it's just sort of organic?
It's organic. It's just natural, man. Right. It comes.
Right. Boy, it just feels like 2008, though, 2009, when you look at Carlos Dansby, and there he is in the end zone after another big play, a game-changing play at University of Phoenix Stadium. Just to see him doing it there, I'm telling you, man, it gave me goosebumps. Right? And Eric, when you look at our defense, you play against all the defenses in the NFL, you watch an awful lot of film. Go ahead and break down our defense a little bit, critique it, and evaluate it for us.
Well, I think the number one thing is they do a great job of getting pressure on the quarterback. And I think that starts with the defensive coordinator with Bowles. He is the best schemer I've seen of getting free guys to the quarterback. It's not just, you know, guys like Calais just beating up the guard or Dansby, you know, shucking a running back. These guys are getting free shots in the quarterback, and that's directly going to coaching. When you see guys free to the quarterback, that's a job that the defensive coordinator is doing, scheming up blitzes and knowing tendencies and then getting guys and calling them at the right time. And then on top of that, you guys got like Calais, you got John Abraham, you got Darnell Dockett, guys physically beating their guys at the point of attack, whether stuffing the run or getting to the quarterback.
Athletic, too.
And that's where to start. You know, they'll tell you the first thing they do, they got to stop the run. They got to make the offense one-dimensional. I think they do a very good job of that. And then they get off the field. And that's the one thing. That front seven does a great job of creating pressure. You got Dansby, who's can blitz but also cover. You got Washington, who's a great cover guy. A lot of speed, can match up. He's great for our defense because you can put him on guys anywhere from like a Sproles to a big tight end,
right.
And he can cover guys around the field, and that's a big plus for our defense because he creates matchup problems for the offense and not vice versa. And of course, you got our secondary. I think it wouldn't all be easy if you didn't have Peterson and Powers back there doing, you know, locking up one and two receivers. You know, that's a big thing to be able to send pressure. Your secondary's got to hold up, so they play great team ball on that side of the ball, and it really shows, I think, every Sunday.
All right, so Calais, here's the easy question then, I guess. The logical next question is, why hasn't the rest of the NFL figured it out yet? As Eric said, you guys are getting free hits on the quarterback. You guys are getting to the QB, right? They're obviously breaking down the game film, but they're not stopping your defense.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
is he changing really, the game plan week to week, much?
It's changed every week. You know, we come in on a Wednesday, and it's like a whole new, like, you know, you have to learn, you know, 10 new blitzes, you know, another five or six, you know, like run blitzes. And then, I mean, everything we do is predicated against what they watched on film, you know, the way they like to, you know, turn their protection or slide or, you know, their tendencies, you know what I mean? Coach Bowles is a genius when it comes to football. He really spends time watching film and breaking it down, you know, play after play, and it shows.
You know, speaking of plays, I want you to talk about two plays, Calais, specifically here, because you were involved in two of the bigger plays of this game. The pick six by Carlos Dansby, it came from Kellen Clements because you were hanging all over his legs. Take us through that play.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I felt like, you know, the third quarter got my first drive in the third quarter last week against the Eagles got away from us, you know. And so this week my mindset was like, we have to do something, you know, just to get the ball back to offense hands and make sure we win this game. But, you know, I tried to get a sack. It came through, you know, nice little bull rush we've been working on all week.
Nice little bull, huh?
Yeah, and then, you know, came off to the side. You know, it was a power to speed. Like, you know.
So it was the bowl at first, and then what? An arm over, arm under?
Actually, it was like a chop, you know, okay. A stab chop, and then rip. And, you know, I mean, I should have got him a little higher, but I kind of, like, you know, fell down to his legs and tried to roll with him. And he did that. I mean, quarterbacks know, take the sack in most situations. You don't throw the ball,
right?
You know, like that away. But, I mean, he tried to throw it to his tight end, and Lowe broke on it. I mean, real smooth. And,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and off he goes, the filthy bird, no doubt about it. Talk about the safety sack. The TE game that you ran with John Abraham. Talk about that play a little.
Yeah, so me and John Abraham have been developing a lot of chemistry there. You know, we kind of just know when to, you know, run games and when not to, and we just have to look at each other. You know, I got like a hand signal or something, whatever it is for that week. And, I mean, I came through a perfect TE game, and John came through so fast. And just,
yeah. So yeah. That was you two guys communicating on that.
Yes.
That you were going to run that game.
Yes.
You were calling the shot right there, kind of like a defensive audible between two guys,
yeah,
correct?
You know, we get the freedom on third and long, you know, and it was a situation where it was like, you know, if you want to run a game, now's the time. You know, so we just kind of put one on. A lot of times with John, you don't want to run games because he's so fast off the edge, you want to let him just go. But every once in a while, we switch it up and run a game just to keep
it. And that worked to perfection.
Kind of like the third base coach giving the runner at first base the green light
right.
steal, if you want.
Do you look for
– he's all pro. He's
how about
steal?
You as a tackle, though, Eric? Do you look for stuff like that? Do you look for guys communicating like that?
Oh, absolutely. Anything, you know, mixer, text, X, those are common terms.
Right.
Of game
right.
kind of terms. So,
the Texas.
And I'm sure they change it up, too, with their chatter. But that stuff, and anytime they make eye contact, you kind of look for that because that's obviously going to be something.
The game within the game.
Yeah, exactly. And then it goes back and forth between there. But, those are hard enough to block in practice. I've seen it in all camp. Calais is tough because he can get into you. He can get control of that guard, and the guard can't get off. That he can't break, and it creates a sack for Abraham coming through.
Well, there'll be more demonstrations out in the parking lot for you. Calais will show you in depth a little bit later on the speed to power, okay? It's the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Eric Winston.
Tyron ran over to the near sideline just trying to shake it off, and then he just went down face first.
Boy, looked like his knee buckled.
He was leaving the field, and something happened, and he just went down.
I'm just trying to stay positive. A lot of the guys are extremely helpful. They've been supportive since day one, and those guys are definitely supportive of me now.
All right, there you go, Tyron Matthew. You probably saw the video and what happened. I was down on the sideline with you guys, and I know when he went down, I thought to myself, please be a cramp. Please be a major cramp. He went down almost to do like a push-up, but no, it was a torn ACL, torn LCL. Surgery is set for tomorrow. And most likely the rehab will continue all the way into training camp next year. It is a serious knee injury. His first real injury, he says, of his career. And he's a football junkie. I mean, he loves the game, and that's going to be the toughest thing. And you know what? If it was up to Bruce Arians, he'd still be Defensive Rookie of the Year with three games to go. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Calais Campbell, special guest Eric Winston. So, Calais, you won the game. You lost Tyron Matthew. What does that mean for the defense?
Yeah, that was a big loss. You know, he does so much. You know, he has so much range for what he can play. And so that, you know, that really is going to hurt us a little bit. But, you know, the best thing is that you have to have depth. You know, in NFL, injuries do happen. It's a sad part of the game, but it is part of the game. And so we have other guys that have to step up and get the opportunity to make plays and make them. You know, but that is a big loss.
Do you guys say anything to Tyron?
Yeah.
Yourself, personally? What'd you say?
Well, you know, me just telling him just to, you know, just to keep his head up and keep working hard to get healthy. You know, when that shoes come, just make sure you're back to 100% and have, you know, just pick up where you left off.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I had a very bad injury in college, knee injury. So we talked a little bit, and I came and just sat down with him in the training room the other day, and I just had some conversations about what to expect, mindset, where you need to be at, how you need to attack it. And, he's going to be fine. He's a football junkie. He's a guy that is almost obsessive compulsive. You know, he kind of gets into something, and that's all he's doing. And I think if he attacks his rehab this way, he'll be fine. And medicine is where it is now, as such, is that these injuries can be coming back from. And, you know, you never want to set a timetable, whether it's the start of camp, end of camp, you know, midseason next year. Yeah, he needs to come back on his own time, and I think the worst thing we could do is expect him to be back at a certain date. I think he'll know. I think the trainers will know. The coaches will know when he's looking right. He'll have to work through some things, but he'll be okay. And I think that's the best thing we can do is, like Calais said, just keep our arm around him, give him a hug whenever he can, and he'll go through some tough times, but like I said, he'll be fine.
You know, during our post-game radio interview, John Abraham said he went up to him immediately and just told him he had a bad injury his rookie year in the NFL, you know, and so, okay, you know, look, you can come back for it and look at Abraham's career. We'll get into that more a little bit later, but, you know, you say next man up, but with Tyron Matthew, it's a real compliment to his versatility. It's next men up. Literally three different guys are going to have to cover for him, aren't they, Calais?
They are. You know, we have, he plays that nick position so well. So, you know, you have, Javier Arenas stepping in there and Anton Kasen stepping in there. And then at the safety position, you know, Rashad Johnson already has played a lot. You know, he's been a starter, you know, and, he'll be great for us. But it really is big shoes to fill because he was so versatile.
And he would blitz, right? And this is what I Eric, maybe tell me this, a little bit about this, but everyone said he was such an effective blitz guy, you know, as a DB. And I don't know, what makes a DB a good blitzer?
Well, I think a little bit is scheme, obviously, knowing where to bring him from, knowing the protections that are probably common in that down in distance. But I think for him, the one thing I notice is he disguises it well. He's not going to tip it off. If he's coming off the slot, he's not going to, you know, keep looking inside. And because the tackles are looking for those things. Is he peeking inside? Is he getting inside the receiver so he has an easier release to get
so
in
there? So are the backs.
Yeah, the backs are looking for that too. And then I think he has just some football savvy to him. So it just some natural inherent ability that comes along with loving the game. And he's just got that way about getting into a crease that maybe he shouldn't have gone into, but it ends up working out. And that's typical of the great players.
Calais, how were his spirits when you talked to him?
A lot better. You know, I mean, of course, after the game, I mean, you know, he was, you know, naturally in tears, you know, just because of, you know, all the work he's put in. And, you know, I mean, anytime you have your first injury, you know, it's a big deal, you know. But, you know, he's been in there every day. This way he can't sit in today. He's laughing, having a good time, you know, just, I mean, just going with it. I mean, you can control the rest. You got to take care of yourself.
You know, mentally, that is really a tough thing to get over, though. If you've never been hurt, I mean, stop and think about that. When you get that first serious injury. For example, I played 10 years. I never broke a bone, not even a finger. I never had surgery, never had anything wrong. And I can project myself into Tyron's position and know that it's got to be a scary thing. You guys have both gone through a serious injury, correct?
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I mean, I broke my thumb. That's probably the most serious.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't serious. That was that. What about you, Eric? Again, there's a mental process you have to go through in coming back, right?
Yeah, tried tear in my knee and tore every ligament in there and a muscle and dislocated my knee and in college. And that's it. You got to get first. I told him this first. You got to get over the why me stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because it's typical. You know, it's self pity. Well, why did it happen to me? You know, and that can prolong the rehab, because instead of saying how do I get better, you're saying, well, why does it still happen to me? Instead of what's the plan? How are we going to attack this? How are we going to go? So. That's the big message that I tried to convey to him, is that, you know, stop, you know, get the self-pity out before the surgery. It's natural. You know, if you gotta cry a little bit more, cry a little bit more.
Yep.
And then when that surgery happens, it's over. And then as soon as you wake up, it's time to get back to work. And I think that's what I say. After talking to him, I think he's embraced now this challenge of what's about to happen, and he's got to get to it.
You dislocated your knee.
It was awful.
Oh, my. Was that the worst pain you felt?
Well, that was my first time ever being hurt, too. Okay. So I'm holding my leg on the field, and my foot's over here.
Man, I can feel that.
I'm holding this.
I can feel that.
Kleas was there. That was his freshman year. And I'm telling him, I hope this is what a sprain feels like. Oh, man, I hope this is what a sprain feels like. And, yeah, of course, you hear the bad news from the doctors. I mean, it was pretty,
Your kneecap is down by your ankle
We had to put your foot back into place. So, yeah.
See, it's nice to be able to laugh at it now, though, right?
Yeah. ten years later, everything's a joke.
That's right, Eric.
Oh, man. Wow.
Wow, that's nasty.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, I tell you, hazards of the job, and while you are very well compensated, there's a correlation there. Let's just put it that way. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Eric Winston, the special guest of Calais Campbell, back right after this.
Clemens has it, drops into the end zone, in trouble, it's set for a safety. It's John Abraham again. John Abraham in double figures. Seemingly every season as a sack master, the active leader in the NFL in sacks. 2 points for the Cardinal.
Oh, that's the safety. John Abraham coming on the TE game. Tackle up and underneath. Came clean.
Tell you what, we could be here all night with the numbers on John Abraham and his spectacular career. 11 sacks, 4 forced fumbles in his past 7 games, and he moves past, wait for it, Lawrence Taylor on the all-time sack list.
Don't forget Leslie O'Neal.
You're right over there. Thank you, Eric Winston. Yes, indeed, it is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Eric Winston, the special guest of Calais Campbell. What can we say? You know, there's what we see, and then there's what you guys see. For example, Coach Arians told us about on Victory Monday, there was John Abraham on a Victory Monday after he had a 3-sack game in the weight room at 6:30 a.m.
You know, it's that push time. You know what I mean? He really wants to go to the playoffs. I mean, he wants to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I think that's one of the biggest things he hasn't had the chance to do yet. And, you know what I mean? He sees how good this team could be. I mean, he spoke to us before the last game as a defense. And on our little defensive meetings, we always have somebody speak once a week. And it was his turn this week. And I mean, you hear his voice, and he's so passionate about wanting to get to the playoffs and actually win. And so, I mean, I feel like it's bigger than just the numbers for him. It's really about, you know, just how special this team could be.
Eric, do you feel like this team is coming together? I mean, you've won 5 of 6 games now. And I think the offense last week, especially the protection, I think it's looked as good as it's looked ever.
Yeah, I think without a doubt you see it. And I think what we're doing is playing a good team ball. And by that, I think the offense is feeding off of what the defense is doing, and I think the defense is feeding off what the offense is doing. We're complementing each other well. You know, when we might not score on a drive, but get it out to the 50, and Dave's able to pin them deep. these guys are doing a good job of keeping them deep and giving us the ball back at midfield where it's a short field to go score. And when we're struggling, these guys are stepping up and getting some stops and forcing some punts. So we're doing things that I think that are complementing each other well, and I think that good teams do. And it's coming together. And I think we got to keep our nose to the grindstone here and just finish it out. We can't get into that hype about the playoffs and what we need to happen in scenarios. We got to just keep moving forward, keep trying to play our best game. And I think if we do that, we're going to be fine.
You know, I see that on the sideline more now than I did earlier in the year, and that is a lot of offensive guys come on over to defensive guys and vice versa. Sort of, you know, okay, and you're feeding off each other and you're sort of pumping each other up. I mean, I kind of see that now, Calais, where guys, all right, defense goes out and has a stand, and then the offense kind of feeds off that. Are you sensing that as well during the
100%.
Game?
You know, I really feel like this is the most team I've been a part of, you know, where everybody kind of has that sense of if we can do it, you know, and the offense is playing great. The special teams has been playing great on defense. You know, we're trying to do our part just because we want to keep up with these guys, you know, and we really do feed off each other. And that's what makes this team special, because we really can do it in all three phases.
Talk about Carson Palmer a little bit in his maturation in this offense. And last week, I just so impressed. 84% of his passes he completed. And certainly the best game that I think Carson has played since he's been here. Talk a little bit about Palmer.
And all that was without even throwing a pass during practice all week, which is even more impressive to me. I was worried that
coaches
was
had to be
play.
Cringing on that, though. Yeah, they had to be cringing on that one.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's the one thing that I think it's been a lot of fun is you, sometimes you're on teams and you don't see that improvement over a year. And I've really seen it. And I don't think it's just a maturation with Carson, even though I'm sure Carson will tell you he understands the offense better. He knows it better. But I think we're finally getting on his page as well. I think the receivers are doing the right things, running the right routes, being where I think Carson's expect them. I think, like you said up front, we're protecting him better. We're opening up holes. We're running the ball better where not everything has to go through Carson. So I don't think it's just a Carson thing, even though I think he's playing as well as he's played all year. I do think it's everybody getting on the same page and doing a little bit more to pick everybody up.
But he's not one of these dual-threat quarterbacks, and there's definitely been a correlation this season, Eric, between, okay, you give him a clean pocket, he gives the Cardinals a clean game. I mean, you can point to most of the wins, and there is that direct correlation. You guys must, to some degree, feel that pressure, right, as an O-line.
Well, without a doubt. And I think you can make that argument for most pocket quarterbacks. The guys are in their face. It's going to be hard to be consistent. It's going to be hard to put the ball in the money. And I had an old college coach that always said, protection equals completions. If we can protect him, he's going to have time to go from his first read to his second read and maybe even his third read a couple of times and get those completions. And I think it's on us. I challenged our guys up front before the game. They have a great front four. They like to get after quarterbacks. They've done a good job all year getting after quarterbacks. And I told them, hey, it's our time to step up and shine and make sure that no one touches Carson. And I thought we did a great job of that last week.
How about Bradley Saul? You've worked with Bradley Saul, right, Calais? I mean, how about the job he did out there, especially Robert? Talk about frustrated. He spiked his helmet. The only time we heard his name called was when the referee, you know, set his number over the PA for unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, man, it really is good team ball. I mean, everybody's playing well. You know, Bradley's doing a great job. And, I mean, I think the running backs did a good job coming through and chipping and helping out, too. And, I mean, everybody's getting open quick, getting rid of the ball quick. And, I mean, it's just good team football right now.
And Coach did say after the game that he changed the scheme up a little bit, right? A little more chipping a little bit, you know, that St. Louis front four, ultra-aggressive. I mean, there was a combination of both the O-line and maybe some of the scheme you guys had up front.
Well, let's face it, anytime you get in a third and long or third and you know you're passing the ball, these guys are pinning their ears back. They're coming, and they're good players too. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're especially on that edge, every now and then if you can go give a chip, if you can give a little help, That just means everything's going to be a little cleaner.
Only one sack for the Rams. Back with more Big Red Rage.
Take it out.
Palmer in shotgun formation. Snap to Palmer. Quick throw over the middle. Fitz caught it at the two. And he breaks a tackle and scores. Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald.
You roll the dice. You come with a blitz. You break six. You better pay the piper. Larry Fitzgerald behind a trips formation just ran a slant. Michael Floyd cleared it out, and Palmer put it on him.
Yeah, that's his 10th touchdown reception of the season. That's the fifth time in his career he has done that, and that's like in the top 10 all-time as well. Every single week there is a Fitz factoid as he climbs up the NFL history books. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Calais Campbell, your host as always. Special guest Eric Winston. And there was Larry with a dozen grabs. And man, was that good to see Calais getting into rhythm.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's been a while since we've seen a game like that from him. You know, we're just at 12 grabs and everything thrown his way, he was catching and making it look easy and breaking tackles. I mean, on a touchdown pass, he ran through like three guys.
And that's the thing, Wolf. I mean, over his career, right? And we've watched all the games.
Yes.
Over his career. I mean, that's the difference in Larry now versus then, his first couple of years.
When you know that Larry is on is when he starts catching a lot of contested balls. I mean, that was something we saw all over and over and over again with Graybeard, Kurt Warner. Kurt would throw the ball up. Yeah, he'd throw the ball up, and Larry would go get it. A lot of contested catches. That's when you know Larry Fitzgerald is at his best. And I can't think of a more efficient game out of Carson Palmer last week and then Larry. Targeted 12 times in 12 receptions. And Paulie, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I want to say 4, 5, maybe even 6 of those balls were contested.
Oh, yeah.
Tight throws.
I think that's what our receivers do the best as a whole core.
Yes.
I mean, you look at Michael Floyd, the catches he's made going up down the sideline. We've had another one. Everybody gets – Andre Roberts gets into the act. They've done a great job, to me, of winning the one-on-ones contested jump balls down the field. That's a tip of the cap, I think, to all those guys.
And I also think, too, that it's not a coincidence that Michael Floyd getting off the press, getting down the field, and making plays has made a lot of defensive coordinators start bombing the Imodium AD, right? They know that Michael Floyd can run by somebody and make plays down the field, and that has opened up so much of the goodness for Larry Fitzgerald underneath running the short and intermediate stuff, of which he is a grandmaster sensei.
Well, and I can tell you, and St. Louis has done this before, and there was chatter on the sideline about how they were single covering Larry Fitzgerald. He doesn't see that very often. And I think Carson recognized that, and boom, here he just immediately started going right at number 11, started getting him a lot of catches. So, Eric, when you look at Tennessee's defense this week, what do you think is the biggest challenge? I mean, what do they do well?
Another good front. Cameron Wembley, Morgan, guys up front, their offensive tackles do a good job of getting pressure. So they bring a lot of five-man pressure. So everyone's going to have a one-on-one a lot of times, and we got to win. So we got to win up front. Nothing changes. And then again, like you said, you know, I think our receivers are going to have a lot of chances to beat press coverage, to beat some man coverage, and win underneath or over the top. They're going to play us in some man free. They don't do a ton. You know,
they have a lot of confidence in their corners.
Absolutely.
Don't they?
They have a lot of confidence just in that back end. Totally. So we're gonna. I don't think there's going to be a lot of secrets when we go in there. We might see something a little exotic early in the game, but whatever we see, we'll be able to make the switches. But it's that kind of year where it comes down to the players making plays, right? And I think this is going to be kind of one of those games where I think our guys are going to have some chances to make some big plays, and it's about going out there and making them.
How about offensively, Calais? How do they look?
You know, the running back that's
Chris Johnson
runs a 4.23 or something like that.
Oh, hold on to your butts.
And he likes to cut back and he hits that edge, man. He's hard to tackle. So, you know, we got our hands full this week like we do, pretty much every week. But this week, especially with the speed he has, we have to keep him contained.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and we're going to get into Chris Johnson in depth here next, right, on the Big Red Rage. We'll talk about that, what else they do well on offense. A reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools. So the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program, Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We go on the Big Red Rage. Calais Gamble, special guest Eric Winston, all presented by the guys over at Santan Ford. They're in attendance tonight, bringing it as always here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Chris Johnson is in at tailback. Quinn Johnson is the fullback, offset to the right. Give CJ running to the right, pounding and driving his way. We need a signal. Touchdown, Titan! Oh, the delay makes it so dramatic.
There you go. Titans Radio Network, Chris Johnson. Okay, now I remember the last time Cardinals went to Tennessee, and on the sideline, it is a Big Red Rage, by the way, Calais Campbell, Eric Winston. There are a lot of guys who had seen Chris Johnson for the first time, and they came back to the sideline, and they sort of muttered to themselves, yep, he really is fast. There's going to be some of those sobering moments for guys who haven't played against him before, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that guy has a whole other gear, you know, kind of like a Ferrari or something like that, you know. And we're a pickup truck trying to chase him down, you know. But, you know, the key is to keep him in the tackles. Don't let him get going, you know. We have to set the edges and make him go through the gut, you know. And, I mean, he's a smaller guy. I think he's on like 195 or something like that. So, you know, he goes down a little easier. But, I mean, you know, if you let him get going, I mean, he'll take off on you.
It's a zone blocking scheme, too, that the Tennessee Titans are still running down there, right?
Yeah. They switch it up. They do zone, and then they do power as well. But
right.
They're a zone first team.
Right,
you know, but I think they were rather.
That's why
power.
Setting that edge is going to be so important as well.
Yes,
when you talk about that zone scheme, the tackle zone, he's a cutback runner, and man, he cuts back. Probably the best cutback runner, I want to say, right now in the National Football League because of the speed.
You know, yeah. They haven't been at home in a month. They haven't won at home since late September when Jake Locker got hurt. So it's been Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback. And he goes way back. He spent a couple of years with Carson Palmer. They had some good-natured ribbing this week. He called him the Amish rifle, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So what do you see in him as a cue, Calais? What do you have to keep in mind?
You know, he gets rid of the ball fast. You know, I mean, he makes a good read and just gets rid of the ball. You got to respect the other quarterback. I mean, he's not going to let you, you know, get too much pressure on him. You know, but I think we should be able to bat a few balls down, you know, to get our hands up because, you know, it does a lot of, you know, across the middle routes, you know. So I think we can get our hands up, hopefully get some balls in the air and hopefully try to pick off a couple.
So, Eric, is the cold going to be a factor, Eric? You guys got a taste of it in Philadelphia. It'll probably be about 10 degrees colder on Sunday.
I already let them know, no sleeves allowed. No sleeves allowed. We're going no sleeves. Maybe some extra underwear.
Yeah. No. Lower body.
No, yeah, no sleeves allowed. You got to go out there.
The little guys don't listen to you.
You
got to
embrace
right?
the elements.
I mean, the little guys don't listen to you, right? I mean, they're going to wear sleeves.
I hope not.
It's not that badge
of honor,
right?
The only guy I'm not going to give a ribbing if they wear sleeves is Carson. Carson wants to put sleeves on. He can do whatever the heck he wants. But
okay,
other than that, they're gonna hear it from me if they get the sleeves, right? Are you gonna wear sleeves?
No, I'm not.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, why do you kind of put Calais on the spot?
Exactly.
Right there, right?
That's how you do it.
You're not gonna
go up to everybody. You're not gonna wear sleeves, right?
So, Eric,
you're from the U.
Eric, you know, you're pretty demanding here. Who makes the rules on the offensive line? You know, as a unit, the offensive line meeting room, you know, do you guys have a leader, a guy who he says it's so, it's so?
It's kind of the census, I would say. Lyle, Darren, myself, kind of. We'd start the boulder down the road and kick it fast enough where no one else can stop it, pretty much.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of how we do it, and then everyone else just kind of hops on after that. So.
Okay. Who's the sensible guy among you three? You know, do you have to sort of, you know, do you cancel each other out, you know, in some ways?
Sensible.
Oh, that adjective doesn't
describe
none
us,
of the above.
Know. Yeah, that's
none
that's,
of the above. Okay,
yeah.
All right. How about you, Calais? How would you term the O line? You know, personality wise. You know, who's the guy in there?
I mean, we got some entertaining characters on the O line. You know, I definitely think it's got to be Eric Winston. You know, Darren College is pretty entertaining. And they run the show, but I mean, Winston really, you can see his authority comes in. People respect him when he speaks.
So you guys excited about the opportunity? I mean, here you are again, 8-5. We all know it's kind of a long shot. But still, the opportunity to be playing meaningful games in December, it's just got to be a massive rush, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's you just want this opportunity. You want the opportunity. And like, yeah, people say, well, you know, you might, you know, all that stuff, like you said, it's meaningful games in December.
Yes.
They mean a lot. They're important to the fan base. They're important to the organization, to the team. And I think it's on us now to go out there and perform. And I think we will. I really do. I think this team is just now hitting their stride. And I think we're going to go out there and show it again Sunday.
Especially the year you went through last year in KC, right? The last couple of years have been so lean, Calais. I mean, you probably have a newfound appreciation for a team that's 8-5 right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the possibility of going 11-5 is crazy. I mean, 11-5 is the best season I've ever had in my career. I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, you're already three wins beyond last year, and you have three games to go. So that's how much of an upgrade it's been over last season so far. We'll wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center right after this. Calais Campbell and Eric Winston. A reminder, guests on the show receiving a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma and Arizona Watch and Clock in Tucson. It's the final edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, Calais Campbell, Eric Winston. All right, so you're going into these last three games, and you're going on the road, and it's going to be cold, and the second half will probably be in the dark and all that kind of stuff, but As a defense, you mentioned, you know, each week you guys have this supreme confidence in the game plan, do you not, in Coach Todd Bowles?
100%. You know, I mean, we really bought into what he was preaching, and, I mean, it's really showed how good we can be.
What about you, Eric, on offense? I mean, you know, you look at some of the numbers, right? I mean, like the last four games, the Cardinals have reached 350 yards on offense, right? Before that, just two times in the first nine games, you know. And where you are now, like if you use the St. Louis game as a gauge versus the opening game of the year, okay, I mean, how much better are you guys on offense now? What's the upside left, you think?
We're still leaving some plays out there, I think. That's the upside. That's what you're always trying to go get, are those – you want to play that perfect game, and while it might not be – quite attainable necessarily play the perfect game, you want to be clean all the way through, and I don't think we've had that. We've broadened, I think, our consistency, which is, I think, the biggest difference between the first game, the first three games, and now. I think you just see spurts of it early in the season, and we get some big play scores or something like that, but we wouldn't be able to sustain drives. We wouldn't be able to do those things, I think, that good offenses do. And I think lately you've seen sustained drives, multiple third down conversions, and scoring at a regular pace, and I think that's important.
Quickly, guys, one thing you're going to have to do well defensively to win, Calais.
Tackle.
And what about you, Eric, offensively? One thing.
Protect.
So the beard is staying through the end of the season. Is that correct? Is that our understanding here?
No question.
Okay. All right. Anything problematic about the beard, like, you know, buckling your chin strap or anything, as we say thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird? What's the downside of the beard?
I've started getting it caught, like, right where you buckle the chin strap, and then all of a sudden you turn and it rips out, and you're like, oh no.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Well, good job maneuvering the headset with a beard tonight. For Eric Winston and Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marlies Chandler Fashion Center. We'll see you next week on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.